Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. Dear Meathead is about to happen. My goodness, it's going to be a good time. You're going to love this edition of Dear Meathead. We go long and Dad tells an amazing story at the end of it. Before we get to it, a reminder, a key sponsor, and I always want you to pay attention to the sponsors because they help keep this show alive, as do you. The Steffes Group of Keller Williams Realty. They sponsored my email, the Steffes Group of Keller Williams Realty inbox. Send me a note anytime, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Keller Williams Realty and the Steffes Group serving all of West Michigan and their real estate needs. If you need a realtor, please go with the one who sponsors this show. At least give them a shot. For more information, go to ericzaneshow.com and click on their link under sponsors. You can't miss it. And Hank will be having a first-time home buyers event at Hilliard's Corner Lounge in Hopkins, Michigan from 6:30 to 8 on March 14th. I will be there recording this podcast beforehand, and I want you to be there too, okay? That just mark it down, March 14th. We'll hang out. We'll have something to eat, and then we'll do this podcast, and you're all invited to attend. Here you go, Dear Meathead.
Father of mine.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me, where have you been?
Is that time to bring in?
You know, I just close my eyes.
My beloved. Father.
Father of mine.
My
take
dad.
Me back to the day. Yeah, when I was still your girl.
Hi, Dad.
Hello.
You went away.
What's, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's cracking with you?
Nothing. I'm just resting in my orbs.
You say you're resting in your orbs?
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, I can close my eyes, and that's the orbs.
Oh, okay,
and,
okay.
They're resting.
I guess I wasn't familiar with your reference. But anyway.
I'm studying new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dad.
Just kidding.
Dad, since the last time we spoke, what's been the big thing that's happened in your world? Is there anything at all that you can report from your neck of the woods?
Nothing really. It just snows like crazy, and I keep shoveling it and mm-hmm. cleaning it and blowing it.
Dead.
And then I'm starting a project. I'm trying to make a lot of picture frames for a lot of pictures I've got.
Okay.
So nothing exciting, you know. And it's cold.
Dad, do you ever get bored?
Of course. We sit around the house so long.
Yeah.
We can't walk because it's too damn cold. So Joanna is kind of trapped in a house. I'm trapped in a house.
You should pick up a new activity. You know, old folks do things like play checkers and stuff like that.
I hate that stuff.
You remember when we used to play backgammon?
Yeah. Well, Joanna and I used to do that, and we got a backgammon set.
Why did we quit? I think I forgot how to play. I'm going to have to look at the rules again.
Well, I'm probably forgot about the setting of it. How you said the little, call it the
dice. It's an underrated game, and I think we need to bring back backgammon.
Well, yeah, you got to get some people involved.
Yeah, I know it. Did you ever learn to play chess?
Yeah, but that chess is silly because you just go from one end to the other, and then what do you do after that? I don't remember.
No, maybe you're thinking of checkers. Chess is a strategy game.
Oh, chess. I know the chess, yeah. I used to play it.
All right. What about cribbage?
Not my cup of tea.
Okay, now I've never played the damn game. I don't know how, but Diana played it with her father, and she swears that that is an awesome game.
Probably so. I don't even know what the details are.
Dad, what sports did you play when you were in the old country?
Soccer.
Okay.
Soccer was my life.
Were you a midfield, forward, or defense?
I played defense and forward.
Did you ever get in a fist fight during a soccer game?
The what?
Did you ever get in a fist fight during a soccer game?
No.
If you're in Iran and you get in a fist fight, do they, like, cut your hands off?
No. I had a trick, though. I used to have a safety pin to my shorts.
Yeah.
And I'd kind of crack it down and so the pin is showing.
Yeah.
And if I'm chasing somebody and having a problem catching up with them, I catch up and I stick the pin in his butt, in his butt cheeks.
Guy
reaches and he loses his control, and I take the ball and go.
So you would stab the player with the pin?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
the guy didn't know what hit him.
So didn't he think, wasn't he able to put two and two together that somebody did that to him?
Oh, yeah. I never got caught at it as a penalty.
You just say, I don't know, and then what do you do, just drop the pin?
Oh, I didn't say nothing. I just hit him, and I just got the ball and passed him.
Joanne, have you ever heard this story about the stabbing with a safety pin?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, you got all sorts of tricks, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Occasionally we trip the guy, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Of course, we got penalized.
So...
What'd you answer?
Yeah, she said she has no safety pins in this house. Yeah, don't do that, Dad. when you're over there, this is like the 1940s and 50s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the 50s.
Well, did you hear about sports in the U.S., about baseball and football and basketball?
No.
You didn't even know they existed?
I didn't know anything about it.
Wow.
I used to listen to radio. That's the only form of entertainment we used to have. And soccer was not even heard of it in America at that time.
Right. And then likewise, when you're in Iran, they don't talk about these those sports in America. I get that.
Thing we had was a radio.
So you don't even know that baseball, football, and basketball and hockey are even a thing.
Didn't know a thing about him.
You show up to the U.S. Gordie Howe is playing at Olympia Stadium with Ted Lindsay. And how do you get acclimated to hockey, of all things? I mean, my gosh, were you exposed to it? I mean, tell me what your first memories of hockey were, Dad.
The first memories of that was like about maybe 30 years ago.
Wait a minute. It had to be more than that. 30
that
years ago?
I got involved then, watching it. Joanne is saying my uncle, but I don't remember my uncle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a long time ago.
So I don't know how it manifested that I did that. But I started liking it when I got involved about 30, 35, 40 years ago, maybe.
What is it called when a player scores 3 goals?
Oh, I forget. Hat trick.
Yes! Okay, in baseball, the shortstop picks up the ball and throws it to second. The fielder, the second baseman, touches second before the runner gets there, and then he throws it to first, and the fielder catches the ball before the second runner gets there. What's that called?
Double play.
Yes! See, you've got this down.
Oh, I know that stuff.
All right, Dad, let's...
I've watched enough of that sport that I know him and I like him, you know.
Yeah. If you had to choose between hockey, football, baseball, basketball, what are you watching?
Soccer. I can't be involved in those things unless I was grown up with it, you know.
Yeah. You ready for questions?
Yes, I am.
All right, Dad, here we go. Dear Meathead, I'm having a problem. My wife says I need to have a talk with my son about the birds and the bees. I don't want to do it. She says she is going to ask him today if I had done it. And if I haven't, she said she's going to do it. Please help me. I want to avoid talking with my son about making babies and other things that adolescent boys do, if you know what I mean.
Okay. You want an answer?
He said he wants some help, Dad.
It's really foolish to think about it, that it's a serious matter that you should talk to your children about sex, children, and all the data that go with it, because I didn't talk to you guys about this.
No, you did not.
You grew up, you just learned it on your own, communicating with your buddies and friends. You got together and talked about it. You already knew these things. I remember when I approached Michael.
Yeah.
And midway in going through this, he says, Dad, I know all about that.
So you were
and
like,
that's true.
So you were like probably relieved that you were let off the hook, right?
Well, I was relaxed with it. Yeah. I was appreciating the fact that I didn't have to talk about it. Because I don't really think people know, adults know, how to talk about the subject to the kids.
Yeah. It.
You really cannot use the words that you want to use. Because we feel that it's, I felt like it's gross for me to tell them these things.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So I think you ought to leave the kids alone and use the word sex and let it go at that.
Okay, so...
Kids already know about that.
Now, back in the day, was it my mom who pressured you into that, into talking to Michael, or did you do it on your own?
I think I had help.
Oh, yeah? You were urged into it by my mom strong-arming you?
I think so. But then again, that was the most foolish thing I ever did because he already knew these things.
So when it came time to Paul, you didn't say anything to Paul?
Or? No, because Paul and I fell out of...
Okay, yeah, it was tough.
You know, great cigar.
Yeah, you guys wanted a fist fight most of the time.
Well, we just didn't have the care that we should have had.
Right. All right, Dad. Well, I don't know how Joanne feels about any of this. Joanne, do you think that the parents should do it or they should just leave it up to the street?
Not the street, but I think nowadays they teach them an awful lot in school.
Uh-huh.
And, you should tell a child what they need to know. I mean, you ask questions and the child will tell you what they want to know.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I absolutely did. I heard her loud and clear.
Okay.
All right, Dad, next topic. It was just announced. He just announced. A gentleman by the name of Bernie Sanders is running for president. Are you aware of who? I'm sorry, what?
I just heard about it, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He's like a 75-year-old guy. He's a Democrat. I ask you and Joanne both, are you going to vote for Bernie Sanders in the next election, Dad?
I really don't think so because, number one, we need a younger person. I don't like a 75 and 80-year-old person as a president because his life is pretty much limited already.
Well,
and if he's going to run for 8 years of that, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well,
he has good ideas as far as that goes, but... his age is in his way.
Now, Trump is 71.
Well, he wasn't 71 when he started. So.
Well, okay.
Maybe 69 or like that. But then again, he's a very youthful person.
So to you, age is a problem. You're afraid maybe the guy might, go senile.
Yeah, he should die. He should something happen. His ideas are a little antiquated.
Okay.
So, no, I need a 50-year-old man that doesn't have the experience, obviously, but he can go towards that experience.
Yeah, Dad, what if it's like a person who has all the right ideas that you like, and they're about 50, but they are this person is a lady. What do you think about that?
I really have no qualms about a lady president.
Right.
We're having right now in the state of Michigan a lady governor.
Okay.
And I'm sure she's got good ideas and all that. This thing of sexual type of idea, sex should not come in a picture, female or versus male.
All right, if you had to choose...
Female can be authoritative as well. I think our leaders should be having much greater authority to force the issues that's coming up instead of, having go to court.
Yeah.
The female... person for a president or a governor. It's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. They have good ideas. Yeah.
What if you had to choose between two people who both had good ideas? They're both ladies, and one was really, really pretty, and the other one was gross. I mean, like 500 pounds with like snots coming out of her nose. What would you do? But they're both nearly identical in the things that you believe in. What would you do?
I'd be prejudiced, and I tell you, I'll take the thin one.
You know,
no, I think 400 two-ton Tessie as a president or a governor, I would not like that.
No, you know, I think that honesty is true, and I would, I think I would do the same thing because I would have a problem with the person not being able to take care of themselves.
That's right, and then... their terms may just disintegrate because of their sicknesses and all that from the weight.
Yeah.
So, no, I want someone good, in good shape, good health.
All right, Dad, how about this one? There was a famous celebrity. I'm sure you don't know him because I didn't even know the guy's name, but his name's Jussie Smollett. He recently staged a racist attack on himself in Chicago, and he blamed white guys that didn't exist just to, and we still don't know why he did it. And in fact, it's not even proven that he did do this, but the police think he did it. In fact, if he orchestrated the whole thing, what should happen to this dude?
You're telling me that he demonstrated a racist?
Yeah. Well, what he did was he fabricated police say he fabricated a story about two white guys who were Trump supporters attacking the black guy. He's a black guy. And it turns out that the whole thing's coming unraveled now, and it didn't happen at all like that. We don't know why the jackass did that, but the police say he did.
Well, he's definitely trying to get Trump to lose credibility. If this is what he did, which I don't know, the first time I heard this.
Right.
Why would we even pay attention to this idiot?
Well, if police find out that he did this, this is a big problem. This is a felony, and
he did something that was felonious.
Yeah, because he called the cops and said I was beaten up by white people when in fact. The cops have sniffed it out and said, we don't think that's what happened to you.
He needs to get his ass in jail.
Yeah, that's what...
Definitely. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, the black and whites, I mean, we are creating a lot of problems. The whites and the blacks both are creating problems. They're really trying to put a separation between blacks and whites. I love black people. I love white people as long as they're doing a proper thing, as long as they respect me, or my opinion. Hey, they're my friends.
Dad, you were in Detroit in 1967 when the riots took place. Can you tell me what you remember of that? Because that was a scary, scary time.
I was in my vehicle driving. I don't remember whether I was coming home. I was coming home. Left my job, and because I was worried about my family.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're talking. I had the radio on. They were talking about what's going on. And I started looking around, and that was an area that was not involved in this situation, but I had the fear of God in me that a bullet's going to come through and get me.
Yeah, and that was real. They were, like, pulling people out of cars and beating the hell out of them and burning. I mean,
I was feared. I had no weapons or nothing. Besides, if I had it, I wouldn't want to use it. And I could not... I did not dissect any of this. I did not understand what's going on, but I knew that there was a war in the streets. But the area that I was going, I don't remember that. There was no activity at all.
Now,
I had a fear of God in me.
Right, right. Now, a lot of that stuff happened more downtown. You were in Oak Park, which is just right. I mean, it's right there. I mean, you lived just off 8 Mile, right?
I don't remember where we lived.
Because Oak Park, I know that it borders, it butts up right to it. And then you guys flew the coop a couple years later and went to the suburbs. You were part of the white flight.
Well, yeah. That's true. No.
Dad, I got one more question for you. John writes, "Dear Meathead, do you think Eric should get back into radio or keep doing the podcast? What do you think, Dad?"
I really think Eric should get into the radio.
Okay.
But then again, it's his choice, and he's been in this business for many, many years. And he has ups. He had ups and downs, and he overcame all of those problems, and he made a good, successful situation out of it. And at this point, I don't know. I really have to find out what he has in his mind. I think he's very excited and happy about doing what he's doing. And in this business, that's what it needs, excitement.
Well, Dad, there's no question. I enjoy it, whether I'm at the radio station or here. And I don't know what ultimately will happen. You know, I think would be the ideal thing if I could do a radio show and then come home and do this too. Can you imagine if we were able to pull off both of them?
That would be great. But then again, what damage does it do to you as far as your mind is concerned and the working hours
yes.
and so forth?
Yeah, you know? You're right. You're right. There's no question that that is a real thing because it's... still trying to build this thing, you know.
And then this is a stressful job.
Right, right.
You know, you constantly are looking for material to inform the public what they're doing, what's going on. So I worry about that.
Hey.
But then again, you're doing it and you're happy with it. I believe you are.
Yeah, I am. You know, I mean, ultimately, it's a matter of can I feed my family? That's really what it boils down to.
That's the most important thing.
Can I feed my family? Have you ever had a job that you hated, Dad, that you just couldn't stand?
Well, I had so many jobs. When I was a young man in this country, my God, cleaning carpeting was the worst thing I could have done.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We had a factory that I worked in for $1 an hour. And they bring the carpet. We pick up the carpeting from people's homes and bring it in here. These are the most popular carpeting was 8x10.
Okay, so
spread them out on a ground on a floor, and then we hose them down and soap it. We have what they call them. It's just it goes around and then scrubs it, and you got the handle on it.
Okay.
Scrubber.
So these are rugs.
These are carpeting.
It's carpeting.
Big carpet, 8x10, and then we used to get like 20x20, which means we had to cut that in half because it would not fit in the area and do it one half at a time and then re-sew it together.
Yeah.
That was a heck of a job. Holy cow.
So was that line of work, did that make you a carpet muncher?
A carpet what?
So is that called a carpet muncher?
I never heard of the phrase.
Never mind.
You're doing carpet washer.
Oh, okay. I thought that that was, I don't know why I thought that. I thought that that was a term that they used for it. But
oh, and then there's about four of us in a plant. And then when we wash them and dry them up, and there's a huge railing that you put them in between.
Yeah.
There's a two railing. That thing turns around and then takes all the water out of that.
Okay.
And goes into dryer room.
Oh, my
God. The dryer room, we take it up and nail them to a board all the way across. That was like 25-foot wide board.
Yeah.
And then elevated all the way up. And then when the place is full, we turn the heat on for 24 hours for the carpeting to dry up.
Okay, so how did you like end up just walking out with $8 in your hand after one day? Or did, how long did you work at this place?
I worked there about 6-7 months. No, what had happened is the guy had one of the owners had a 1941 or 40-something Buick. I mean, it was a wreck.
Yeah.
He sold it to me for $50.
Okay. Okay.
I was supposed to give him $5 a week. Third day, I wrecked it. He just three. I left the damn thing right there and walked out. Never went back to work
never,
and all that.
You never paid the guy.
Where his car was.
So you just left the car. You stranded the car, quit the job, and never paid.
I didn't know about the stoplight, that you have a stop sign that you got to stop.
So
I crossed it, and there's two girls driving this car. Sideswipe me, the driver's side, but I managed to get out and then left the car right there and walk the hell out of there.
Wait a minute. You mean you weren't aware of how traffic lights worked?
There wasn't a light. There was a stop sign.
Oh, okay. So you didn't know how stop signs worked.
No, I didn't know they had a stop. No. And this poor kid, two girls, nobody got hurt. Except the cars.
So you get out of the car and you just walk home?
I ran away for a while and then waited for a bus, and I had about 80 cents in my pocket.
What?
And buses were 20 cents or something.
So, okay, in one instance, you end up hit and run. You end up quitting the job, and you ended up welching on what you owed to the former boss, all because you ran the stop sign. It's a miracle you're alive. You know that?
Yes. I called him up. I said, your car is in so-and-so place. It's all wrecked up.
Oh, you called the guy and told him?
And I went dead ahead. There's a tree that on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And kind of the front end went up a little bit in the air.
Yeah.
And he got hung up right there. It blocked the whole lane.
Holy crap. You were probably talked about in the newspaper. Oh, my God.
The car was not even registered in my name. It was still in the owner's name.
Oh, this is great. Holy cow. You know, Joanne, is this the first time you've heard this one?
She's not here right now.
Oh, my God. I can't believe she walked out on this story. That was a great, great thing.
I never told him this.
Oh, that's awesome.
I told her.
That is a classic. Oh. All right, Dad. Well, I tell you what, we're going to cut this short. Not short. It actually went pretty well.
Bit of talk.
Yeah, we did a lot of time this time. Dad, you never fail to amaze, and you're always a great source of entertainment. We love you and your storytelling.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and thank you so much.
And your stories and your opinions. I mean, that's why we do this, you know.
Okay. All right. I love you. Say hello to the family, and we'll talk to you at the next session.
All right, Dad. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't.